The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Today is the 23rd anniversary of the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, and events on the streets of Belfast and throughout the North this week gave us a glimpse of the dark days which preceded the peace accord back in 1998. I'm joined now by Eamon Malley, author, broadcaster and journalist, who of course has covered events in the North spanning back maybe 30 years or over that. Eamon, good morning to you.
Good morning.
As a veteran observer going back to the start of the Troubles, what is your take, just as we stand back now and we have a look and observe what has been happening this week?
Thank you for affording me the time to explain this, because it's an interesting perspective, I think. Historically, nationalists here in Northern Ireland, and indeed politicians in Southern Ireland speaking on behalf of nationalists here, spoke of alienation and a lack of parity of esteem for nationalists in Northern Ireland. Now, the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, that arrested something of the sense of alienation and lack of parity of esteem. Not totally, before, for example, we still do not have an Irish Language Act here. The Democratic Unionists continue to block an Irish Language Act. But talk of alienation and lack of parity of esteem in nationalism, that is less today than it was way back in those years. In many ways, however, unionism post-Good Friday Agreement remains unreconstructed. But their sense of loss of identity has been very considerably heightened by the fact that Boris Johnson is perceived to have betrayed them post-Brexit. The reality is, despite their loyalty to him, he agreed with Europe to have the protocol, the Northern Ireland Protocol, a border in the Irish Sea. This is giving rise now within unionism to a sense of alienation and a lack of parity of esteem with the rest of the United Kingdom. So it's almost as if the shoe is on the other foot now in terms of how unionism sees the situation. They feel that they're the ones who are lacking in parity of esteem because of what Boris has done. And that is mostly what triggered the violence, as I understand it, in Derry on the 29th of March, when rioting started in the Protestant area of Derry. It was in protest against the whole question of losing the British identity, or the fear of being swamped by Irish nationalism, changing circumstances. So the perception in unionism increasingly is that Northern Ireland is not as British as Finchley within unionism. And I remind you that when Gareth Fitzgerald was talking to Margaret Thatcher way back those years, at the time of the Anglo-Irish Agreement and thereabouts, when he mentioned alienation, she went bananas. She hated the term alienation. But now unionism is feeling it being somewhat cut off, that they're lesser human beings, lesser British people, because of the actions of Boris Johnson.
Well, that
and there are other facts.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that is sort of the straw that has broken the camel's back, that over the past 30 years there's probably been a rebalancing of the parity of esteem issue following the Good Friday Agreement. But when you look at the makeup of Stormont and the power-sharing executive there, whatever about unionism, can we make a distinction here between unionism and loyalism and working-class loyalism in East Belfast? When they look up the hill in Hillsborough there, there's very little, it would seem, that they can recognise has been reflective of their views. Is that a fair distinction to make?
Well, this is the dilemma. The bottom line is that loyalism in its heart knows that unionism, generally speaking, electorally abuses them. The rally when it comes to elections, working class loyalists. And the working class loyalists feel obliged to vote for the DUP and the unionist parties to block Sinn Féin assuming all power and becoming omnipotent at Stormont. So Loyalists are called, but they feel that they have not gained much from the Good Friday Agreement. That's the bottom line. They don't see the evidence on the Shankill Road or in Sandy Row or in Protestant Loyalist areas. They don't really see the fruits of the Good Friday Agreement. And in the past, consistently talking about the quality of the housing in West Belfast, in the Falls, Springfield Road, Andersonstown area, and they feel that they just haven't got any real bonus flowing from the Good Friday Agreement. And they know they're being used by the DUP and other unionists when it comes to elections, but they are trapped. Mm. Now, there's also taking place within loyalism, within the organisations, what I would call balkanisation. They're splitting up, and things are not very comfortable, even within what was perceived to be the UVF. There's a sort of dissident UVF in East Belfast now. In South Belfast, what's UPRG, representing what was the UDA, they were putting action on the street. And yet, South East Antrim, that's where the bulk of violence has been, out in White Abbey and places like that, during a couple of weeks of that. And police have been leaning heavily on that faction, the UDA, of alleged criminality in that given area. So even loyalists is no homogeneous from that point of view. So all of these things are playing out now every day, one on the street. And in the background, which is stirring the horses within loyalism and unionism generally, is firstly the possibility of a border poll, and that's a conversation that's more common now. It's current, but there's a lot of attention being given to it. And then there was the Bobby Storey funeral back last June, when the numbers were far in excess of what they should have been for that funeral. The police recommended 29 prosecutions, and the DPP ruled in recent weeks that the case was not sustainable, that the law as it obtained about funerals and that type of thing was such a mishmash that no case would be sustained in court. So the DPP threw out the cases, and as a result of that, unionism is furious. You have Arlene Foster saying, I won't talk to the chief constable because he and his men, not he personally, but his senior staff, have been in negotiations with Sinn Féin about Bobby Storey's funeral. Arlene Foster said she wouldn't talk to the chief constable. She said that if the status of Northern Ireland changed, she would leave Northern Ireland. So all of this is out there in the ether at the moment. So it's an awful mess. Perhaps the death of Prince Philip has arrested the situation. Perhaps it will lead to a cooling off, although there was trouble last night in the Loyalist Protestant Tigers Bay area, which is interfacing with New Lodge Road, and nationalists became somewhat involved. Mm. So it's quite a delicate situation right now.
Okay. Just, you were referring there to the views among loyalists and people in those working class areas of Belfast. We have a clip here of a very short clip now, which might reflect what you're saying there. It's a BBC Vox Pop. It was played on Drive Time yesterday evening here on RTE. Shoppers in a loyalist area, just giving their opinions and views of what's happening at the moment.
You walk around and look around your area, everything's gone. There's no prospects. The kids have no prospects of jobs. Nothing. You walk up and down this road and it's completely empty. And you walk up and down the Falls of the Springfield and everything's brand new houses and shopping centres. What have we got? Nothing.
When the Good Friday Agreement, Eamon, was signed almost a quarter of a century ago, what sort of Northern Ireland did the politicians envisage it would be like 23 years onwards?
Well, certainly not where we're at the moment. Like, this is extraordinary where we're at the moment. But this is the root cause of this current flare-up is inevitably, without a doubt, what happened in terms of the negotiations between Boris Johnson and Europe. And because this is a prime minister who came here and pledged that it would be intolerable, it would be totally unacceptable, and no prime minister could afford to accept a border in the Irish Sea. Now, my colleague Jamie DeLargy was the first man to nail this, and he said He was the economics correspondent for the BBC, for UTV. And he said there's only one alternative, and that's a border in the Irish Sea. Now, he was ignored, but he called it 100% correctly, because he was talking directly with Europe, and he was reading their minds. He was laughed at by people at the time, but he called it correctly. And Boris betrayed, there's not a doubt about it, Boris betrayed unionism. He did not enter the circle and explain this. And that's why they feel so alienated. That's why they're talking about alienation. And they feel being betrayed. So, and that's for the young people. The young people are listening to this every night and day from Sam, from Gregory Campbell, from Arlene Foster, and these people. And the young people are saying, well, we're going to be taken over here. You know, the people say, oh, these thugs, they know nothing. They don't understand anything. I was testing views with children 10, 11, and 12 in the last few days. And I was asking them, to which nation do you feel you're attached? Do you feel Irish? You just test any child. Ask any 10, 12-year-old child, are you British or Irish? And they will automatically say, if they're Catholic, I'm Irish, and I'm Protestant, I'm British. That's just a reality. You don't need to have a PhD. So when people talk about these throwing petrol bombs, those folks of which people speak, those are young people who are fed this diet that potentially their identity, their sense of Britishness is going to disappear, that they're going to be overrun by nationalists.
So
that's the essence, that's the rawness of life in those working class areas.
Absolutely. I mean, they have fathers, mothers, grandparents as well, you know, who obviously they grow up in those sort of households. So at 13 or 14, as you said, yes, they would be aware of identity and what it means to them. Eamon, thank you so much for chatting to us on the programme this morning. We didn't get to go any further on a few of those issues, but I think you've teased it out well there and given us a good sense as to why we are where we are this week and why we've seen a return to attacks on civilians. Because you look at that bus, the way it was attacked in West Belfast the other day, and indeed on police as well. All right, we're back after this.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.